Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors. If you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word, we also offer in-home Bible studies. If you would be interested in studying from the inspired Word of God, to learn more about who He is and what His will is for us, we would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org. And the number is 217-218-0803. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Is a chapter from which we will get the verse that will be used as the basis for our lesson this morning. Here in this chapter, Jesus is preaching what is often referred to as His Sermon on the Mount, and He speaks in the first few verses here about the person who is blessed in the eyes of God. Notice what He says specifically in verse 6 here of Matthew chapter 5. And I'll be reading from the World English Bible translation here this morning. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I want to notice some things here this morning pertaining to this phrase, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus used those words hunger and thirst in this verse in a figurative way to describe the spiritual appetite that we should have for righteousness. When we think about hungering and thirsting after something, that involves having a longing for something. It involves having a great desire for something. We might even say having a craving for something. And Jesus specifically in this verse mentions that that longing, that desire should be for righteousness. And when we think about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that involves at least three basic things. Number one, it involves having a great desire to be right with God. Number two, it involves having a great desire to learn what God says is right. And number three, it involves having a great desire to do what God says is right. And so we'll consider each of these things for a few minutes in our lesson here this morning. If you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 9 of this chapter, as we think about this need to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 9 says, "Therefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." If someone is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, he or she will have such a great desire to be right with God that his or her aim and goal in life is going to be pleasing God. This is, in many ways, the foundation of having this hunger and this thirst for righteousness, is having this great desire to be pleasing to God. And as we think about having this desire to be pleasing to God, this is not just an apathetic aim to please Him, but rather it's having a very zealous aim, being very zealous in our pursuits to please God. If you look over in Revelation, the third chapter, we get an idea in that chapter of what is involved in being zealous for God. Someone who is hungering and thirsting after righteousness is going to be zealous for serving God. And we see in this chapter some things that help us to understand what that zeal for God will look like. Notice in Revelation, the third chapter, and I'll first read verses 15 and 16. Our Lord there, talking to the Laodiceans, says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth." So notice here, Jesus speaks about the spiritual temperature, if you will, of the Laodiceans. They are not hot in their service to God, but they're also not cold toward God. Rather, they are described as being lukewarm. They are apathetic, we might say, in their service toward God. And so notice down at verse 19, what Jesus says to these individuals. He says, "As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." When our Lord there says, "Be zealous and repent," He was implying that these individuals needed to develop a passion for serving God. They needed to develop a great deal of enthusiasm for serving God. No longer be lukewarm. No longer be apathetic in your service to Him. But He says, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And so as we think about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that involves having a fervent, zealous desire to please God and thus be right with Him. That's one point that we want to understand as we think about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But to follow up on this zeal that we need to have for pleasing God, we next want to recognize our need to zealously pursue learning what God says is right. We must accompany our zeal with knowledge. If we have knowledge of God's will, but we don't have zeal for serving God, then we will not be doing the things that God desires of us. On the other hand, if we have a great zeal for God, but we do not have knowledge about what He wants us to do, then we may be putting forth great effort in our service to Him and yet actually causing more harm than good. Notice what is said over in Romans, the 10th chapter. In Romans, the 10th chapter, and in verse 2, here the inspired apostle speaks about some Jews, and he says, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." In other words, these individuals want to serve God. They've got some enthusiasm for serving God. But he says their zeal is not properly directed. Their zeal is not according to knowledge. If we have a great desire to please God and to be right with Him, we should follow up that desire with a great desire for learning what He tells us in His Word is right and is pleasing to Him. Notice what is said over in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, there the inspired apostle says, "As newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, that with it you may grow." It says, like a newborn baby has a great desire for physical milk, that's the same desire, the same longing that we should have for the spiritual nutrition provided by God through His Word. And this is the longing that we will have if we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We are not only going to have a great desire to be right with God, but we will accompany that desire with a zealous pursuit of learning what God says is right. But something else that is involved in hungering and thirsting after righteousness is having a great desire to do what God says is right. Notice what is said over in James, the 1st chapter. In James chapter 1 and in verse 22. James chapter 1 and in verse 22 says there, "But be doers of the word, and not only hearers, deluding your own selves." It's not enough just to learn what God says is right. That's important. But we must follow up that learning with a commitment to doing what God says is right. The inspired writer here in this verse mentions that we can delude or we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we are right with God simply because we hear and we learn the truth, but he points out here we're just deceiving ourselves if we're not also applying what we learn to our lives, putting into practice God's will for our lives. And so it's important for us not only to hunger and thirst for being right with God, but to follow that up with a great desire to learn what he says is right, and then to follow that up with a great desire to do what God tells us in His Word is right. And as we think about this hunger and thirst that we have for doing what God says is right, we want to recognize that this applies when God commands us through His Word to do something, whether what He wants us to do is easy and comfortable for us or not. Notice something that is said over in Mark, the first chapter. Mark chapter 1. And I'll read verse 18. Mark chapter 1 and verse 18. Here in this context, Jesus is calling Peter and Andrew and James and John to come follow Him. And we see that they do so here in this passage. And notice some words that are used in verse 18 to describe Peter and Andrew's reaction to Christ's call to follow Him. Mark chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "Immediately they left their nets and followed Him." I want to really zero in on three specific words in this verse. Immediately left and followed. Peter and Andrew, when they heard Christ tell them that they needed to follow after Him, they did not delay in doing so. They did so immediately. It mentions there that they left something behind. Specifically, in their case, they left their nets as they were fishermen, and they left that occupation, if you will, to come follow Christ. And then it also says they did this to follow after Jesus. Verse 20 implies that James and John had essentially the same reaction when Christ called them as well. So as we think about the reaction here, we understand that what Peter and Andrew and James and John were called to do in terms of their specific task was different from what we are called to do today. They were responsible for traveling around the known world to teach the gospel. And there are some who do that today, but most of us probably are not traveling throughout the world teaching the gospel. But there are things that Christ tells us in His Word He wants each of us to do in following after Him. And just as Peter and Andrew were willing to immediately leave behind whatever was needful to follow after Christ, we likewise should immediately leave behind whatever we must in order to submit to His will that He teaches us through His Word. There may be a sinful activity that we are involved in. We need to be willing to immediately leave that behind when we learn from the Word of Christ that it is sin. There may be something that we're needing to do that we've been putting off. We need to immediately determine, as soon as we have the ability and opportunity, to do what we see in God's Word is His will for us to do. Immediately determining we will leave behind whatever is needful in order to follow Christ. Over in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 24. Says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" Sometimes Jesus asks us to do something that we may not want to do very bad. He may ask us to do something that creates some hardship for us. It may put us out of our comfort zone. That's the idea there of taking up our crosses. That phrase is used there in a figurative sense to talk about our need to be willing to do things at times that are not pleasant when it is what God requires of us. But Christ says if we're going to be His disciples, this is what we need to be willing to do. Deny ourselves. That means let go of our own will for our lives. Take up our crosses. That means be determined to commit to the cost of discipleship. And then follow after Christ. That means endeavoring to do whatever we learn in His Word is His will for us to do. And as we think about what He said in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. If we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we will determine to the very best of our ability to do whatever God requires of us, even if it is something that is difficult for us to do. And so as we put these points together, we can understand that those who are blessed by God are those who have a great hunger and thirst for pleasing Him, for glorifying Him, a great zeal for being right with Him. And these individuals then accompany that zeal with knowledge, because not only do they have a great longing to be right with Him, but also a great longing to learn what He says is right. And then these individuals follow up that knowledge of what He says is right with a commitment to doing what He says is right, putting into practice His will for our lives, even when it is difficult to do so. This is the lifestyle of one who is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And notice in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, at the end of that verse, what Jesus said about those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, He said, for they shall be filled. If we are hungering and thirsting after pleasures of life, we may get some instant gratification from that, but we're not going to get a permanent sense of fulfillment of purpose. If we are hungering and thirsting after riches, we might get a temporary satisfaction from that, but we will not be filled in a lasting sense, because those things don't provide that lasting fulfillment. But if we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that will lead us to have a permanent fulfillment of purpose. There will be a sense in which we have a fulfillment of purpose as we live here on earth, and ultimately we'll be filled eternally upon Christ's return to judge the world, as we'll be able to enter heaven and spend eternity there with the righteous of all ages. And so those individuals who hunger and thirst after righteousness are those individuals who are blessed in the eyes of God. We need to have a hunger and thirst for physical food in order to sustain our physical bodies and give them what they need to survive. But we also need to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness in order to sustain our souls and give ourselves the spiritual nutrition that is needed in order for us to be right with God and thus spend eternity in heaven with Him. If you have any questions about anything that was stated this morning, or if you would like to study further, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can reach us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is allnechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.